Mr. Shutt, Reel 3. You'd landed at the camp at Edinburgh, yes.
This side of Edinburgh. And of course, everything was chaos. You know, just were walking about the grounds and getting settled in now. And everything was go after that.
Did you get your uniform straight away?
More or less. It was all, you know, fitted up with your kit for tin plates were thrown out there and this and that, you know. And then, of course, it came to the uniforms.
What did they give you?
Well, when we lined up for that, I'm telling you what they gave me. They threw a rifle at me. It was a P-14. It must have been in the last war, thick of grease, as much as get that cleaned up. That's what we had. And then, of course, the rest of the uniforms out, just thrown at you. And, of course, the first one I got, the necks and everything, but, you know, they just looked at you and guessed, thrown at you. And we got fit up, and then we got sorted out a bit there, and it was sorted out to be about 8 of us to each tent. And each tent had a corporal to look up, you know. And from there on, it was all injections and vaccinations, different ones. Some of these used to cost hundreds of pounds, these, I don't know, you know. It's worth having. Like, the lads were scared before they went in, so, you know. But anyway, that was over. And then we got all settled down, all the tents was, you know. And of course, corporals just come around early in the morning, you know, out you get, you know, it was all go. Everything.
Did you suffer from homesickness in the beginning?
Oh, a little bit down when we left, I'll tell you. The wife wouldn't come up with me. She, you know, I says, I'll leave you here. And she waved to me up upstairs window where I lived at Wigley Hill. And of course, on the way there, like I said, we got to each station. There was nothing but wailing, tears, young women, the mothers, cuddling and kissing. I think it must have been Newcastle, it was the biggest outdoor in Darlington. Stopped Darlington, Darlington, Longfield. Nevertheless, you might want to know that. And after that, it was all up on the morning and all sorts of drill. There was a notice put up for what was on detail next to it. Well, when we first went there, you got these tin plates and that, you know what happened. Everything was rough. And the vegetables, you used to push the caterpillars to one side on your plate, you know, the great, you know, army stuff, right? It was just like that. We couldn't, you know, grasp the person.
What time did your day start? What time was Reveille?
It would be about 6:30, something like that.
And what was the first thing you had to do when you got up?
Tidy up. It was about 8 hours in this tent, the feet, pole sticking, all feet to the pole, and you had all your kit, your kit bag, and all your equipment, you know, and there wasn't any room for that. You can imagine what it was like. It's 8 in the tent, you know, all had to be squared up and laid out and everything. And then, of course, we had to go to breakfast.
Were you lying on the ground or on a board?
On the ground, grass. Of course, we were there about.
Then you say you when you tidied your tent up, you went for breakfast.
Yeah.
What might you get for breakfast?
Oh. Just ordinary porridge, I suppose, you know, and things like that. Of course, you just went to have lotions and cleaned all up and that. And of course, parade, maybe about 9 o'clock or something like that. And then, of course, what was on detail started off. What was on? It would either be a bit drill, or march, or a lecture, either opposite, you know.
What lectures did they give you at this early stage?
About the Ren guns and things like that.
Weapons.
The lectures was on about the hams. All this rifles and everything, the range. There were his silver anti-tank rifle, it was about 56 pounds. You know, we had to get these weights. I think it was more or less to put your brain right. But it was all sorts going up. You would get, what they would do to get your brain, you'd have to like, get a booklet or something, and they would drop all sorts of things. Different things, just to remember what your brain was like, such as bits of safety pins, and you had to look at them, pass it around, you know, and remember that. We get so many seconds or minutes to think of what was in there, and then they'll test it, just to be able to see if you could remember. Things like that, building you up, all this. And then, of course, well, there was a lot of drilling going on, you know.
This would be your very basic training.
Oh, you're drilling them all, man. You know, students, you know. I mean, when we were drilling down there, you know, shouting and marching, you know, left, turn, you know, and half of them would turn right, you know, about them. It was like Dad's army. No telling us about that. What happened? Anyway, we were there about 6 months.
How did you settle into this world of men crowded together?
Well, there was two mates when they went from Wheatley. One was a butcher's lad, Billy Edley, and the other one worked with me, but he was a motor at the cooperative store. I was a provision hand. So, and we went off together. And of course, for the first medical. And how we went on, well, I passed okay. I was pleased I passed okay because I wanted to be fit, you know. I was nuts. I wasn't physical conscious. It was going here to the lads. And Billy passed my mate, but the butcher's lad, he failed. He was flat footed. He didn't pass him. But he was more or less glad about it. I wanted to pass. I wanted to be unfit, you know. Nevertheless, we went together all through Proxy Camp, Billy and I. And of course, he was worried about his wife, who'd just been married, you know. And his wife was in a bad way, you know, 10 scripts of pain, not about 10. He was worried about her, which is natural, you know, all Michigan.
Was there much opportunity to talk to someone in authority if you were worried or had major concerns?
No, not
had you access to officers who would help?
Well, yes, would.
Did they introduce you immediately to the light infantry pace?
Light infantry what?
Pace, the quick marching pace.
Yes, of the British Army, you know.
That must have been difficult at first.
Well, I don't know about that, but we had skin deals and all sorts, because the boots, they gave you more strong and tough, but you know, I'll tell you that in the bathroom.
Did you get on well with the men in your tent?
The locals, but the officers, the NCOs was beds and nets. They were regulars.
What were they like?
Well, you know, the what were they like? They were awful, some of them. Very strict, you know. I mean, I can remember that the sergeant major, you know, he was a, if you, maybe you didn't salute, you were just normal, unbeaten, you know. What do you think these are? Bars of Cadbury's, you know, and things like that. And some of them, the language is awful, and some of them, you know.
Yes, you must have found that difficult, coming into that language.
I knew nothing about the army. I wasn't given most of it all. I had nothing to. I had no idea of the man in the moon.
And you were meeting men from a wide variety of life.
Well, that's right.
Were the punishments severe then if you did anything wrong or made a mistake?
No, not really. Well, we'll excuse a little bit for being wrong, you know, until we got down as they got on, of course, the rules had to be obeyed and things like that. We begin to get more mature.
And, do you recall any of your first NCOs that you had? Any particular ones stand out? You mentioned the Sergeant Major who was pretty strict.
I don't know his name, but that's how they used to go on with, you know.
What about officers at this time and when you first went in? Were you introduced to any officers? Do you have an officer in command of your group?
Well, you came in later, a little further on.
From the beginning, it was NCOs and teaching you the basic drill.
That's right, yeah. And, anyway, I was there 6 months. Night ops, what they call, you know, moving, all sorts. And you're going all the time. Very little time to spare. But we had much leisure. I think on a Saturday, we were allowed half a day. And before we went down to town, we got lectured, you know, if you meet any military or Air Force man or sailors, captains, you know, you must salute. He was up down to Edinburgh next, you know, catch the bus outside, cross the camp over and why, I remember walking down Princess Street, you know, we had a salute piece, carry on, well, I felt a little bit, you know, daft somehow or another, yeah. We were saluting, and as a matter of fact, I think we were saluting the bus conductor and everybody with a big couple. And then he was flying in and coming up the pass, you know, you were looking windows, you know. We did like that, he was so open. See him, you know, he used to whisper one of the buttons, he was the thing he is, he's just here over then. They were that raw, that's the way we were.
Did they, with your training, obviously you learned to march and turn and so forth. What
we got better at it.
What did they teach you with as regards weapon training?
Well, we had all sorts of weapon training. When we got up further on.
That was further on?
Oh, yeah. We used to tell the what do you call them,
the range.
Range, that's right. We used to travel to the ranges, you know.
But that came later, after your basic drill.
More or less, yeah.
So at this place near Edinburgh, you were just basic drill and
that's right.
Getting used to army life.
That's right. Get the civilians brushed off, yeah, more or less to their standard.
Did most of the men accept the army life, or were there any who were?
We had to accept, but you're not. I mean, you're in the army now. You know, do as we say, follow the rules. You should be on the carpet. I suppose if we were charged, you'd be a special duty, you know, maybe washing up or something, you know, duty.
Did you have to do guard duties in Edinburgh?
Yes. There's always guards on the gates and things like that. But that came a little bit later.
That was later as well.
More or less.
Was there a canteen on this first camp that you couldn't...
No, you couldn't buy stuff at a canteen.
What was the weather like when you first went there?
It's in 1940 in July, when we called it. I can remember. The weather was fine. It wasn't, you know, it was really in the canvas and that. It was really enjoying the weather. But, we kept going all the time. We tried to put everything, in, you know, stuff it as quick as possible. There's a war on, you know, to get through it. You could tell. There's no time for pleasure much. On with it.
You mentioned the fact that your instructors and NCOs were Bedford and Hertfordshire Regiment. How were they able to teach you light infantry pace? Because that isn't a light infantry regiment.
Well, they used to use as drilling, stuff like that, you know. They knew that much. Of course, there was a sergeant, and then there was a full corporals come straight from the NCOs.
And they manage with the light infantry pace, which would be new to them.
That's true. Why they have the light infantry pace, as you said. We've got plenty of marching, I'll tell you. Road marches, we have them miles. It's terrible, man, you know.
Did, on a route march, did you get a rest every hour or so?
We set off, we used to set off on the hour, and we used to halt 10 minutes every hour. 10 minutes, 10 to the hour. You could rest. We used to sit with our legs, we're told, up, or lay beside the trailer fence, keep the legs, you know, that's the way I used to sit.
Your legs higher up.
And mine were much miles up, especially as we got further on. It was terrible down in Norfolk in that place. Went out 3 weeks on end, camping out, you know, rough, stuff like that.
What did you carry with you on the route march?
Full pack when we were on the route march. You got your, you know, gas cap on the back of your neck, your pack, rifle, spear on your side. Your belt, your bayonet. Of course, you had the heavy boots, which we weren't used to, you know, your studs. We used to stud my shoes, I'm kidding. And on the first route march, we through the hard roads down in Norfolk.
Came through the soles? Right? Came through the soles, the studs?
No, the studs were worn.
Oh, were worn, yeah, worn right.
Off, you know, on the hard roads. Of course, they used to send them in and
Did you have your gas mask at that time as well?
Yes.
You carried that wherever you went?
Oh, I had the civilian gas mask ready in there. We used to carry them everywhere. Civilians and others carried them.
Did they give you gas training as well?
Yes. Oh, yes.
How did that go?
Well, I had like a building, and it was brick building, you know. Let the gas out in there. You put you in so long with your mask on, and then you just ease it up and breathe in to give you an idea of what it was like. Let that go. You know, you're in there so many minutes, and then you come out. You only need buses to give you an idea of what gas was like.
What kind of gas were they using? Was it the, you know, they made the eyes run? Was it that kind of gas? Tear gas kind of thing?
Yes, it would be. Mm-hmm. But that was part of the training, just to more or less, you know. I mean, when you come to the front, these things are doing away with. They were a nuisance, these gas things rolled up on the back of your deck when you went to the range. As you got down, you know, you're still in, it was to drop down, and it wouldn't drop down, it just come up your eyes. I often thought, I was used to a rifle, my double barrel gun used to be up stand there. I had a bit trained with the rifles and air guns when I was alive. We used to get up stand up shooting, leave up there. All this was moorland, so I cultivated now between here and shopping. It was all moorland. That's where I used to spend my hobby, with a gun and a dog and a spaniel.
So you had some experience of shooting.
Oh,
Were you a marksman on the range with the 303?
Yes, I was. I was a real good marksman, because I'll tell you why. I was picked out to go and match the Royal Scots. I was better than in Scotland. I was on the long range with a big target, you know. And this P-14 with the aperture, I was in that band, bullseye, you know. Anyway, there was about 6 of us went. And when they took us to this place in Scotland, I don't know, they dropped us down a cellar. And they had a miniature gun. I couldn't get a thing. I was as bang as a book. A little dark cellar and a little target, all together. Different to when you're up on land and you see, you know, the boats. We used to have to go down and take on turn in the boats. You know, putting the sign up, they're always clean and all that. And of course, you had to be down with the nail fire, you know. And you used to come up the tin fence, heavy as that.
What ranges did you fire from?
Well,
the distance from the target.
Well, it must have been about 2,000 yards afterwards. I forgot exactly what them rifle, the Enfield, could do, but I think it was about 2,000 yards. I don't know whether that was killing or not. But I had an idea when I got into the front line what it would do and what it wouldn't, you know.
Did you get the Bren eventually?
Oh, yes, the Bren, yes. We got the Bren. I could land the Bren gun.
Did you like that as a weapon? Did you like it?
Oh, yes, it was not true, but it was all in the. Well, I mean, that was compulsory. Then I would take a Bren gun down and put it together again. You had to know these things, didn't you?
Did you get any experience in the early days with mortars?
Mortars, yes. Yes, we fired the mortar.
What size mortar would that be?
It's just a small one.
2-inch.
3 inches, 2-inch. Mm. Yes, we used them.
And then you'd do bayonet practice, no doubt.
Oh, yes, I. Yes, oh, yes. All long fix and that and all.
Do you recall going to Dunfermline after Edinburgh?
Yes, now this is where I'm a bit confused, but I think I can work it out. After 6 months, we were on the move. We left Proxen Camp, and I think we came to a place called Bonnybrig. It was a little mining place, as far as I can remember. And that's where we landed there. And I had an officer then, who was called Dees, because they come to the. In the first place, I was picked out, the sergeant used to, you know, drill that, and used to shoot, you need it down, this was in Proxton Camp, you need it down to the pile officers, you know, report that. So, I didn't know what it was for. Just pick me up. When I went down there, there's two or three officers sitting on the table, you know, on the grass with it. And he gave me a book, just like that. He says, just read that paragraph down there, shut. So I went there. I didn't know what the hell I was there for. I read it perfect. Yeah, that's all right. I says, what's it all about, sir? Well, he says, you want to be a signalman, don't you? He says, the first time I've ever got it. No, I says, oh, I'm not going to be a signalman. I didn't know what to do. I was on that. I was reading, shouting out, and read it all right, but I didn't know what it's all about. Well, he says, what are you doing? I says, well, they just sent me down, sir. Well, no good if you don't want to be a one, you know, so I went back, and that was it. No, I was called out another time, and this time it was for a batman. As a matter of fact, I hadn't known what a batman was. So I was talking, but anyway, I got to know, and I thought, wait, seems to be all right, batman, come down, you know, just. I was supposed to be his right-hand man, all everything, you know. Being with him on the front line, being at his side, I was supposed to be looking after him. I've got to know all these things before I took over. So he was a school teacher. This one of these. Of course, he used to get in late, you know, so I had enough knowledge to train out the book. Also, you know. And of course, he had a batman. I was supposed to get in there, I don't know what it was, 2 bob or half a crown a week extra to be a batman. So, anyway, he took me on, and I never got me half a crown when I went to the test. And I'm bloody ready, couldn't get money over them.
What were the duties of a batman? Say, from getting up on the morning, what did you have to do for the officer?
Well, you go and clean his kit up a bit. If he was a nighttime dress, his what do they call these things?
His mess kit?
No, his dress. When the drifter go for me, that night, the officer's mess. That have the Sam Browns on, you know, Browns in the dress. Where he had to keep his kit right. A bit polished here and a bit polished there. You know, anything that he wanted to make his bed, maybe just to do that. It didn't take you long.
Did you have to wake him on a morning?
No, he was always awake. I never had to wake him in the morning.
Take him a cup of tea?
No, he wasn't going to like that. No. It was just after himself.
And were you with him then all day?
I was with him. No, I was with a detail what I had to do, more or less.
So your training continued at the same time as you're doing this?
Sometimes I wasn't on guard. I might miss a guard, you know, if he wanted me for anything. Well, that wasn't so bad, that standing out there. I think it was two on and four off through the night. That was standing on the doorsteps down with body weight, you know, nobody about him. Sometimes the local people used to come up and bring it, you know, tea. It was very, very good Scotch country. That has got a reputation of being a little bit, you know, but I found him very generous at that time. He used to come up and give me a bit of cake or something, a cup of tea, but I'm sorry for that. I can look at for a moment, you know.
Did you feel that you were something of a servant to this man, to the officer?
Oh,
did he make you feel a little bit, you know?
Yeah, we got on well together.
And there wasn't any question of you feeling of a lower status because you were a servant?
No. Sometimes the lads might be a little bit jealous, but maybe I wasn't on guard, missing the guard now and then. Well, I was missing that many, I can remember. And then we used to line up, you know, for a guard. I'll be on the guard. And me and maybe missing one or two. And some of them was off sick or something like that. The guards began to get a bit too much. It was coming around too much for some of them. And I can remember lining up one day for guard. I used to get stick oddly. Many times that was like best dressed, you know, you were extinct. Always hard one is the best thing. But I remember lining up this time for guard, and this little sergeant, you know, that was taking us and he used to come and examine us, and the corporal would be on the end where I was, and it, you know, you used to put your hands out to line up. Fit the distance. I noticed when I did that, he put his hand on his shoulder like that. He'd lose the lapel, the button. See, so I was disqualified. See, so I'd have to do a guard, I wouldn't get things like that. All them things went up, got all them tricks up. But I didn't mind. I thought, well, you know, then don't be one, sir. What was the guards? They come very regular. There was always something on. Washing up at the cookhouse, you know, greasing dishes and all that. You're on duty there. Went through all that.
And what were you guarding? You said you stood in doorways and things.
Nothing. It was all in with the train, you know. There's some things I was to stand there and say, oh, what the hell am I doing? What am I guarding here? All these passages here, this entrance, you know. We used to come around, you know, over the officer to see if you're on guard at night time. So night, there would be an officer on night duty. It was his job to go around all the posts of the guard and check it out. It was his turn. He was coming around to sit to the standing. You had to be standing when he come and all, he had to be laying down the wall, something like that. And then when he went away, why, he was rest then. He got to begin the war, which is really nasty.